that was what I was kind of known for. And so I said, you know what, I'm wearing a tie. I'm a tie today. So speaking of the word of known, it's something I've kind of been struggling with last couple weeks or so, well, for a while, but last couple weeks really. Known in that didn't really start my business. I've had about 6 years with transitioning from business hobby to actual business. You know, you have to market and do things and promote. And, you know, if you have a website for design and somebody goes to your website, you should probably have something on there that you designed maybe. You know, so building up those things and trying to be known for that stuff. The flip side, my day job with the city, I really don't want to be known. But people come to you and say, hey, will you try out this food? It's like, sure. Oh, by the way, we want you to set up your camera and talk about it. And I'm like, so now I'm in Kroger, and it's like, hey, you're the restaurant guy. No, I eat like an 8-year-old, but I'm the restaurant guy. That's how I'm known. So I was talking to my mom driving. I was trying to tell her where I was, and I gave her the name of a church sign I saw. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's the church where I think I know where you are. That's the church where the pastor and the first lady had the matching Mercedes. And I was like, what? She's like, yeah. And so as I drove by, sure enough, two big 600 series Mercedes parked out front. I'm like, wow. So do you know who goes to church there? She's like, no. I was like, well, do you know anybody that's visited there? No. But she knew what the pastor and first lady drove. She didn't know anything about their worship service, their experience, anything, but she knew the cars that they drove. That's what they were known for. And before I knew it, I said this, and these are my opinions and thoughts, not that of Eagles Way Church. I said, wow. I don't think I could ever go to a church where the pastor and first lady drove matching Mercedes. I don't think I can do it. I started thinking about, what church do I go to? And the more I thought about it, that is so not who we are. We have a lot of great people, a lot of influential people, people with way more money than I have right here. But everybody worships together. Everybody interacts together. And you don't see those differences in how we interact and how we treat each other. I mean, I've been to churches where the first lady's entrance, and I don't even know what first lady, what that actually means, but the first lady's entrance rivaled that of most brides. Literally, I was at one church where people were walking behind the first lady holding up her hat. Not the train, like they were like balancing the hat on her head. Like I've seen these really outrageous things, but our first lady works in the sound booth. I've been here 3 years. She's tried to retire from the sound booth, I know, 8 times since I've been here, but she's still back there working. That's where we work. This is Eagles Way Church, where we're known not for what we have, but we're known for who is inside of us. That's where you are today. I want to invite you all to stand and worship with us.
Shame. striving cease as you are singing over me, Lord, I am who you say I am. All striving ceased as you are singing. Trust you. Oh, just let it happen. You're full of life now, you're full of passion. That's how he made you. Just let it happen. And he calls each one of us by name to come away. And he whispers to your heart now, let it go now and come alive. You're full of life now, you're full of passion. That's how he made you. Just let it happen. Yes, you're full of life now, I'm full of passion. That's how he made me. I'll let it happen. Yes, take me back to the place in the fields, Lord, where I only want your name. Take me back to the place in the fields where I only want your name. Oh, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your love. Oh, you fill us up when we let it go. To this place in my life, I'm full, but I'm not satisfied. This longing to have more of you, and I can feel it. My heart is convinced. I'm thirsty, my soul can't be quenched. And you already know this, but still come and do whatever you want to. And I'm standing knee deep, but I'm out where I've never been. And I feel you coming, and I hear your voice on the wind. Boxes that I have tried to put you in. Let love come, teach me who you are again. Would you take me back to the place where my heart was only about you, and all I wanted was just to be with you. Come and do like whatever may come, I am yours.
There's somebody here, or a group of people here, that have lost someone, and it was really, really important. And your mind has gotten into a place where it says nothing's ever going to be the same again. And while that's true, it's not a negative. It's going to get better, and the best parts of your life are still ahead of you. And that's what this church has always taught me, and I know it. I just know it's going to get better, and you don't see that yet, and I promise it's happening. And maybe today is kind of the beginning of that.
And all the poor and powerless, and all the lost and lonely, thieves will come confess and know that you are holy, and know that you are holy, and we will sing a hallelujah, and we will cry. All the hearts who are content, and all who feel unworthy, and all who hurt with nothing left, will know that you are holy, and know that you are holy.
Sing out, hallelujah.
go on and tell it to the masses that He is God. Shout it, go on and scream it from the mountains. Go on and tell it to the masses that He is God. Shout.
Everything that we need for survival, that we need for goodness, that we need to trust You. You are everything that we need to guide us to where You are calling, to what You whisper into our hearts. You are everything that we need to be able to let go. Whatever it is, You are everything we need to fill us back up. You are everything we need to make this life beautiful, to create and to be who You intended us to be. You are everything we need to be awakened. You are everything we need to love. You are everything we need to have peace. You are everything good. thank you, Father, for all you are and who you are and what you do for us. We love you. We praise you. We embrace you. We give in your name. We love in your name. We rest in your name. We go in your name. We move and we live and we are in your name. You are everything. We love you. Amen.
Well, I don't know how to follow all that. It's good stuff. How's everybody doing? Well, your hair's getting long, man. I'm growing my hair long, didn't somebody tell you? Not that. Yeah, okay, we're going to start a long hair thing. I got in trouble one time with long hair. My daddy played hooky from school, and my daddy worked for the bus shop. He was a superintendent for the Spalding County bus shop, and he kept all the buses running. And me and some friends of mine played hooky. I remember playing hooky. We played hooky, and that's what we called it back then. And we was in a truck in a car going down the road, and looked in a rearview mirror, and the guy I was with said, "Who is this idiot behind us in this big yellow truck?" I looked behind and I said, "That's my daddy." I said, "Better pull over." So we did, and daddy said, "What are you doing, boy?" I said, "Riding." He said, "Why aren't you in school?" I said, "I don't know." He says, "That hair." He said, "You don't have to worry about it, David. Keith, you don't have to worry about it. Hair's not going to bother you." He said, "That hair is why you're being rebellious, that hair." I said, "Okay." So it doesn't call you to be rebellious. It really doesn't. David, you're not rebellious. All right, we're going to start a series, new series this morning. I want you to pull out your connection card, if you will. But we're going to start a new series this month on table relationships. And I want to this month, and I want to encourage you, if at all possible, to be here every Sunday this month as we go through different kinds of relationships. And I want to really pastor you over the next several weeks. I want to shepherd you. I want to counsel you. One of the greatest things I ever did years ago when I was a young minister is took a course on preaching as counseling. And it was a course on how to integrate counseling in your preaching so that you won't have to have so many counseling sessions. Now I just get other people to counsel and I don't have to do that. But I want to preach to you as a counselor over the next several weeks. And in April the 8th, we're going to have a seminar, so to speak, on Saturday morning, April the 8th, called Today's Family. And it's going to be to the entire family. Dwayne and Sonny Swilly is going to be here. And that morning at 9 o'clock, we'll have a little praise and worship. Then at 9:30, we're going to have three breakout sessions. The men will meet with the men. The women will meet with the women. And fifth graders through high school will have a meeting on how to relate to their parents. So this is a good opportunity for some of your parents to get your kids in here so they'll love you better and respect you better. But the men's meeting is going to be how to understand women. And that's going to be a miracle service. And the women's is going to be how to understand men. So I know that after this is all over, Barbara's going to see me in a total different realm. She's going to understand me fully and know exactly why I am the way that I am. And then that Sunday morning, he's going to be preaching also on Today's Family. And we have chosen three words this year: engage, discover, and define. And you know, if you sometimes you just got to engage in life. You're not going to get anything if you don't engage. And that's the first thing we need to do is engage. And then after we engage, we'll discover some things. And after we discover some things, we'll get some definition of some things that we really need defining in our life. But I want to talk today specifically about friendship. Specifically about friendship. And in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, there's a scripture that says, "There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother." I don't know why the New Living Translation translated, "There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother," when the literal translation of it is, "There's that he that hath friends must show himself friendly." And the turnaround of that is, if you don't show yourself friendly, then you're showing yourself probably unfriendly, and you're going to destroy some people. But nevertheless, I want to talk about how to have friends and how to be a friend. And I want to talk more about how to be a friend probably than how to have friends, because if you'll be a friend, you'll have a friend. All right? In Luke chapter 22, a beautiful passage of Scripture, Jesus was at a place in his life when he had gone from calling his disciples, his servants, to calling them his friends. As a matter of fact, he said, "I no longer call you servants, I call you friends." And when I thought about that scripture, it hit me, maybe to have a friend, you got to serve first. That really, if you'll serve people, you'll have friends. And so I believe that's what Jesus was saying. You have been a servant. You have served me. You have followed me these 3.5 years. You have listened to me. You have let me talk with you. You've let me disciple you. You've let me be intimate with you. You let me spend time with you. We've eaten together. We've walked these dusty roads together. We've done all these things together. Now you're my friends. And at the end of Jesus' life, it says in verse 14, when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. And Jesus said, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins." Another translation says, "With eager desire, I've desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer." How many know that people like to have friends when they're in trouble? It's nice to have friends that comfort you when things aren't going well. He says, "For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup of wine and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I'll not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." He took some bread, gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and he gave it to the disciples saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took another cup of wine. And that intrigued me. I never saw that before. He had instituted really the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, and he said he took another cup of wine. And I asked the Lord, "Why? What was that another cup of wine for?" You want to know? I don't know. He didn't tell me. And I asked you to pray that he'll tell me over the next few weeks, because I really want to share that with you. I believe there's something in there that God wants to say to us. He took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. But here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me. For it has been determined that the Son of Man must die but what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him. Wow. It was at the table that someone was sitting as a friend. And he says, he will betray me. See, you can't be betrayed by anybody who's not close. You can't be hurt by anybody who's not really close to you. And so I want to talk to you today. And I really, I'll be honest, I've asked the Lord, I just want to be very meticulous with what I say and how I say it. But I want to be very candid and open, because there's not anything more important in life than relationships. Nothing. The people, you can have all you want to have, but you don't have relationships, you don't have anything. But I want to talk specifically again about friendships. And in this scripture in Proverbs 13:20 says this about, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Now, notice that what it says, walk with the wise and you will be wise. He did not say, associate with fools and you'll become a fool. He says, walk with the wise and you'll be wise. But he didn't say walk with fools and become a fool, but he did say if you walk with them, you will get in trouble. You'll get the scrap metal from their lives when they blow up. You're going to be hurt by what happens to their life. He didn't say you become a fool. He just says you're going to suffer some consequences of it. You see, friends still influence the direction and the quality of our lives. They still influence the direction and the quality of our lives. How many when you was young that your parents was very much wanting to know who you associated with? There's a reason they wanted to do that. They would switch school. They'd put you in a private school. They wouldn't let you play at somebody's house. They would move. They would have arranged your marriage if you let them. Some of you wish they had. No. But then we grew up, or you grew up. I'm not preaching to me right now. I'm preaching to you. Then you grew up, and then you became a parent. Now you check their friends out on Facebook. You read their text. You see how many minutes are on their phone. You'll do anything and everything to find out what's going on. Why? Because you know their friends is going to direct and influence their life in a great way. I'm going to tell you some stories that I've told before. I'm going to tell you a story I've never told you. About 1970, Mike and I was in Atlanta. And in 14th Street, you could buy any drug you wanted to buy in Atlanta. All you had to do is walk down 14th Street, marijuana, LSD, speed, you name it, it was there. And I'd already dabbled in marijuana, so I thought, let me dabble in some other stuff. So a guy comes by and he's yelling out what he's got, and so I bought it, put it in my pocket. The next weekend, Mike and I went out, and I had it in my pocket. He said, where are those pills you bought last weekend? I said, they're in my pocket. He said, throw them away. That's what a friend does. I thought about that this week, and I thought, what would have happened? Where would I have been without a friend who said, throw them pills away? I might have been a drug addict. You see, people don't start addictions by themselves. You don't smoke your first cigarette by yourself. You don't take your first pills by yourself. It's in a group of people. And so you got to be careful. Friends direct your life. They influence your life. There was a true story. This real athletic guy was walking down one side of the road, and on the other side of the road, there was this really kind of nerdy-looking guy, and he had a big stack of books with him. And the athletic guy thought, I'm going to go over and help him with his books, and then he didn't. About that time, two guys run by this nerd guy and knock all of his books down. And so the athletic guy goes over and picks up all of his books and helps him and takes half the books and says, I'll walk with you home. And so they went home and found out they lived pretty close together. Well, this real athletic guy and this really nerdy guy became great friends. And they were friends for the whole senior year. The athletic guy got a scholarship to play football at a college. And this nerd was the valedictorian. And he was real nervous about his speech he was about to give. And his friend came over and just patted him on the back, said, "You got this. You can do this. Don't worry. You got it." Well, he gets up and he starts thanking people and says, "I want to thank my mother and my father. I want to thank my teachers. I want to thank different ones." But then he says, "And I really want to thank my friend. Because nobody knows, but that day I'd cleaned out my locker because I didn't want my parents to have to do it because I was going to take my life." We never know when we're one friendship away from changing our entire destiny. You never know when you're one encouraging word away from somebody to encourage them, to say something to them that's going to change the destiny of their life. Proverbs 27:10, I love this scripture. It says, "Never abandon a friend, neither yours or your father's. When disaster strikes, you won't have to ask your brother for assistance. It's better to go to a neighbor than a brother who lives far away." Or a friend. Go to a friend than a brother who lives far away. Never abandon a friend, neither yours nor your father's friends. I've told you this story, but Ron was at my house Thursday night. Ron Gray was passing through. He spent the night with us, and we were reminiscing, and he told me, he was thanking me. He said, "Bjorn, thank you for being such a good friend." And I was sharing with him. I said, "Well, I'm going to talk about this Sunday's friendship." He said, "Well, you can do it well." I said, he said, "Thank you for being a good friend." He said, "I'll never forget calling you years ago, telling you that my daughter's in Oklahoma City, and she's in an abusive relationship. It wasn't her husband. She wasn't married to him. It was just somebody she got connected with, and he was abusing her, and she couldn't get out of it." And I said, "Hey, dude, I can handle that." He said, "How can you handle that?" I said, "I got a friend in Oklahoma City. And his name's J.D. Glass." And I called J.D. I said, "J.D., I need a favor. Have you got any guys in the church that's like barely saved? You know, like Christian thugs?" He said, "Yeah, I got some of them." I said, "Well, this is what I need you to do. Need you to get them." And I gave him the address of this house in Oklahoma City. I said, "You need to take them there, get this girl out of that abusive relationship, and send her on her way back to Alabama." Not Greenbow, Alabama, but Alabama. And so he called me about 6 hours later. He said, "She's out of the house. She's in a car. We put brand new tires on her car so she wouldn't have any problem getting back to Alabama." And everything was taken care of. Aren't you glad? And you know what? She still says to her daddy, "Oh, I wish I had friends like you." Nothing like friends. Nothing like friend is somebody who's always there when you need them. And they're not there, you miss them. Always there. Now, not like Mike. Mike's always there when I need him. He's 30 minutes late, but I know he's going to be there. He's going to be 30 minutes, an hour late, but he's going to make it. Maybe you got a friend like that. Well, you know, I wouldn't mind if Jesus was 30 minutes late any time, would you? Would you be okay with you keep? Sometimes I felt it was like 3 years. You know, I'd be glad if Jesus was like 30 minutes late every time. But I would say Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. See, God uses all of these analogies in Scripture to let us know how much He cares for us. He said, I'm your shepherd and you're my sheep. Why did He say that? Because I want you to know how loving of shepherd I am and how protective I am and how much I want to be with you. I want to shepherd your soul. He talked about He's our Father. Why? Because He wants us to understand His love for us. Because He says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more would the Father give to you? He said, if your son asks you for bread, you won't give him stone. If he asks for a fish, you won't give him a serpent. If he asks for Neapolitan ice cream, you won't give him yogurt. I just threw that one in for the granddaddies here. We know how to do that. Desi had a little surgery this week. A little minor surgery. Of course, minor surgery somebody else has, not you. And so I took Jet yesterday to spend some time with him. And I wanted to take him to get him a prize. He loves prizes. So I took him to Walmart. He loves Legos. I had no idea Legos were that expensive. I steered him toward the top boxes. They were the little ones. They were $19, but he wanted the middle boxes. They were $54. Well, you know what he got. I got home and Barbara said, $54 for Legos? Yep. Why? Because he could have asked for the 100. He could have went down to one more shelf if he'd have wanted it, and he'd have got it. Because I love him. He wants, and then he says, I want you to know I'm your friend. I'm your friend. God created everything and everybody because he wanted fellowship. He came down in the cool of the evening with Adam, and he talked to Adam every day. The Bible says in the cool of the evening, he talked to Adam. He just fellowshiped with him. I don't know what they talked about, but a lot of times in the evenings when you want to sit down and fellowship with somebody, you want to talk, you want to relate. And one day he came down and Adam didn't show up, and he knew something was wrong. He said, Adam, where are you? And he says, I'm over here hiding. He said, why are you hiding? And you know the story, and went through it. God, it didn't bother God that much that he had done what he had done. He came to redeem him. Don't ever run from God. Don't run from your friend. Don't hide from your friend, because he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No matter what you do, he's never, ever going to give up on you. Never. And then there was a man named Enoch. And the Bible says Enoch walked with God. It says he walked in habitual fellowship with God. And the Bible says in one day he was not, for God took him. My daddy used to tell me when he preached that, he said, God and Enoch went for a walk one day, and they walked so far away from Enoch's home that God said, we're more closer to my home than your home. Said, let's just come on home with me. And now that I see things the way I see things, what happened, Ralph, was that he walked in such a heavenly realm with the Father, with God. You're going to like this. He walked so much that he just stepped into that other realm, and he was not, for God took him. He was more in the heavenly realm than the earthly realm because he was walking in fellowship with God. Another man came along named Noah. Bible says, and Noah walked in habitual fellowship with God. How many know that friends tell you what's going to happen? Wouldn't it shock you if something really serious happened in your friend's life and they never told you about it until after it was over? That would shock you, wouldn't it? You go, man, why didn't you tell me? I can't believe you didn't share that with me. Well, one day God and Noah's walking in fellowship, and God says, Noah, let me tell you what I'm about to do. Noah was glad he was a friend. Yes, sir. Friends tell you what they're about to do. And God will get you. See, God as your friend will prepare you for what's going to happen in the future. He will tell you, prepare, so you'll be prepared. Yes, isn't that great? He just don't want to be your father. He wants to be someone who will tell you what he's going to do. The Bible says that God showed his ways unto the children of Israel, showed his acts unto the children of Israel, but he showed his ways to Moses. Let me tell you why I do what I do, Moses. He says, I want you to be prepared. And so he tells Noah what he's going to do. And Noah goes home and tells his wife, I got to build a boat. Build a what? Build a boat, big boat. I can imagine me going home telling Barbara, we got to build a big boat. No, you just want a boat. Big boat. There's no water. Water's going to come to me. Thank God he had a family that said, we'll help you build that ark. Then there's a man that James said in the New Testament, Abraham was a friend of God. And God one day, again, was going to do something. And he said, I can't keep this from Abraham. So he says, Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Of course, Abraham tries to talk him out of it, but couldn't do it. But at least he knew what was going to happen. I want to give you five words. If you'll keep these five words, say these five words over and over again, your friendships and your relationships will last. If you don't say these five words, it won't last. Then I'm going to give you one principle that goes along with the five words. So this is not going to be difficult for you to remember. Five words that you need to remember is, I love you. You can't say that too many times. I love you. The other two words are, I'm sorry. Somebody asked me one time, what's your longevity of ministry? How could you be somewhere for all those years? How could they put up with you all those years? I believe because I've learned to say I love you and I'm sorry. Made some mistakes along the way. I'm sorry. Two biggest words you'll... I found out saying I'm sorry when I don't mean it helps. I'm just being flat honest with you. I've said I'm sorry when I didn't even mean it and got out of trouble. Then the principle is forgiveness. Forgiveness is not about the past. It'll never change the past. It only works on the future. You see, that's why a lot of people have trouble with forgiveness, because they think it's going to change the past. Nothing can change the past. But it can change the future. It's when I let go of the past, the pain of it, and the anger of it, and the resentment of it, and move forward. Forget it. Move forward. Choose not to remember it. And so if I learn to say, I love you, I'm sorry, and forgiveness, it will change your future. Won't change your past. Won't do anything for that. There are relationships that need to be nurtured. They just need nurturing. There are relationships that need restored or rebuilt. There are some that need to be severed. There's not many of those, I believe, in your life. And there's some that just need to be redefined. But all of them are so important. And when I was preparing this message this week, and friendship's always been paramount in my life. There's nothing that's ever meant any more to me than friendships. And I thought about this song. And see, God wants to be your friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Now, what I'm about to share with you is so critical, because I know God spoke this to me. As soon as I crawled out of bed this morning and my feet hit the floor, he didn't tell me why he took that other glass of wine. I was hoping when he started talking, he's going to tell me this morning why. He didn't. But he said this. There are people there today, and they're not carrying a big unforgiveness of something big that happened. See, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. But he said, there's a number of people going to be here today, Buren, and they're these little bitty things that they didn't think was a big deal. And they've carried it and carried it and carried it all their life. You know, I found out that people can handle the big stuff. People can handle the big stuff. People go through adversity. It's amazing what, you know, I believe this is why the Bible says, where sin abounds, grace does that much more abound. So when there's a big deal, there's big grace. But it's the little things. And Holy Spirit is going to share with you in a moment what little thing that you've carried maybe all your life, but it crops up every now and then. It just keeps coming back, bam. Might have been with your mother, father, brother, sister. Might have been something a friend did to you. Might have been something somebody did to you years ago. But it just keeps cropping up. And as long as that thing keeps cropping up, it's going to devastate you. It's going to keep you down. It's going to keep you from moving into what all God wants you to move into. And if you're here today and the Holy Spirit's shown you what it is, I want you to come and stand across this front. And that's a bold step for you to make. And you don't have to tell me who it is, but you tell the friend who's sticking closer than the brother who it is, and Jesus will help you. Your friend will help you deal with that. He'll help you move on from that. Forgiveness. God chose forgiveness to deliver the universe. He chose to just forgive us. And he knew that would take care of everything. So you're here today, and this thing inside you, you've carried it for years. Might have been something in your childhood. God did to you. I remember coming over the last 40 years in ministry, there a thing cropped up in my life that happened to me on the playground, and I had to forgive somebody for something they did to me on the playground. All those years. I want you to stand, and I want you to come and just stand across this front quickly and go, I'm going to get rid of this thing once and for all. Simplicity of forgiveness, and I've said this so many times, but you just got to get it. Forgiveness is not forgetting. Can't forget. Your computers are nothing compared to your brain. Nothing compared to your brain. Your brain's much, much smarter than any computer. It's nothing to do with forgiveness. It has to do with choosing not to let it continue to bother you. Choosing not to keep bringing it up, keep remembering it. And then you replace it with something different. And so whatever it was, whatever they were, whoever it is, just today choose to release forgiveness once and for all. And it's not for them. It's for you. It's nothing to do with who hurt you. It has to do with you. Let me tell you something about God. Don't worry. Did you hear what Jesus said to his disciples? Somebody as a friend's at this table. He's going to betray me. Woe unto him who betrays. He's going to suffer the most. You see, people who do the hurting, they suffer. You just don't know. Whoa, they suffer. There's tremendous pain and agony going on. They got their own thing to deal with God about. You have your own thing to deal with God about. And so it's up to us to say, I'm just going to forgive. I'm going to do it God's way. So today, Lord, it's an old spiritual. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Help them today, God. Help them today to leave it here. Leave it here once and for all. And to experience your amazing, amazing grace that strengthens us and empowers us to go on and on and on and on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. brings peace that comes down from the Father above after we've done what we need to do. Amen. Man, I encourage you, try to be here these next several weeks. And let the Lord just help us in all of our different relationships, because they're all different levels of relationships. All kinds. David's a friend of mine. Now, he's not a friend like some other friends, but he's a good friend of mine. You know, Jesus had 70, he had 12, he had 3, he had 1. All different levels of relationships. But you know what? If you got the right ones, you can make a phone call anytime in your life and they'll be there. They'll be there. Prophetically seeing a fire, and the fire is burning up that situation in your life. The fire of God is actually consuming it right now, and you are going to be amazed and shocked at how different you're going to view, because you're not going to view it anymore, and your view is going to be forward and not backwards, because the Holy Spirit is just literally burning this thing up. Thank you, God. Thank you for your principles. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I ain't done yet. Oh, good time to have communion, don't you think? How I missed this. It's right here in front of me. Eldership be coming. We're going to receive it. And when they get stationed, if you're just coming, grab your elements and go back to your seat. And children are in here to take it with us. So much revelation in Holy Communion. One of the most powerful parts of it is when Jesus, in the night he was betrayed, he took the elements. In other words, the night he was betrayed, he decided to go ahead and forgive. Just going to do what I need to do. He took the bread and said, "This is my body. It's broken for you. Not for me, for you." Then he said, "This cup is the new covenant. Often as you eat and drink this, do it in remembrance of what I've done for you." Amen.
You may be seated. As our ushers are coming, we'll be receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. I want to thank you for your faithfulness. If you have your connection cards, those that are members, we ask that you turn those in. Communicate your prayer requests. It's the way that you can sign up for At the Table, which is our Wednesday night meal on the third Wednesday of this month, which is the 15th. And the other things, you can go ahead and begin signing up for the Today's Family little mini conference we'll be doing on the 8th of April. So you got those. Those that are coming to the prospective members lunch, or you signed up for that, thank you. That will be in the youth building, which is you go out the front doors, up the concrete steps to the third building up there. And we will have lunch waiting on you there. And on the 19th of this month, we will be having water baptism again. We do have someone that is going to be water baptized. But if you are interested in water baptism, want more information about that, make sure you see Pastor Keith or myself, and we'll make sure that you have that information. Let's pray and bless this offering. God, Lord, thank you that we can come and worship you. We can be taught, encouraged. We can bring our first fruits, our tithes, our offerings, our alms to the furtherment of your kingdom in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. I ask you to stand and let's worship and then be dismissed.
Of your week, who you say I am, on striving seas, as you are seated.